In the Republic of North Macedonia, most people are still trying to get used to using the new name. The most obvious concession Skopje accepted to end the 27-year dispute with Greece and finally get into NATO and the European Union. Well, not everyone is trying.
Not me. Not at all.
That's former Macedonian diplomat Martin Tranevski, who served as his nation's envoy to Sweden, Canada, and NATO when it was still provisionally called the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, or FYROM. Tranevski retired before the current government accepted the PrESPA agreement last June, and he refuses to comply with the name change. Tranevski says he will never use the name North Macedonia.
Luckily, I'm a pensioner now, so I don't have to, and I will not.
At the other end of their dining room table, his wife shakes her head. Vasilka Popuska was Skopje's ambassador to Austria as the agreement was in its final stages of negotiation, often taking place right there in Vienna, with her facilitating the meetings. She felt the tension and the pressure. The international community made clear to both sides, she says, it's now or never if you want our continued support. Popuska is convinced this was the right decision.
There was no other way, for sure. I saw that it was not easy for both sides, for the Greeks and for our side. I'm sure that nobody's happy with this, but we knew it that we have to do this.
While she's not thrilled about the name change, she can live with it.
Maybe I'm more pragmatic. North Macedonia, even for me, is not so bad.
But it's not only the name that has to change under the PrESPA agreement. National monuments will have new placards clarifying there are differences of opinion about history. For example, about Alexander the Great, who both North Macedonia and Greece claim. His name has been taken off the airport in Skopje, now just Skopje International Airport. The agreement also means the iconic Virgina's Son can't be used in any official way in public. Now a joint committee is examining textbooks, teaching guides, atlases, and other official documents to see what else must be changed. That's very painful to Martin Tranevski. He waves his arm around his art-adorned home in downtown Skopje. A former journalist and author of several history books, he feels PrESPA is wiping out large parts of his country's past and even his own with the required changes.
I have on the wall a map from 16th century, 17th, early 17th. It says Macedonia, but in the new editions of history books, it should be something else. If I ask for my birth certificate, it will say that I was born in northern Macedonia, which is not the case. I was born in the Republic of Macedonia.
Speaking of births, the couple's daughter and her Canadian husband recently returned to live in North Macedonia, fulfilling their plans to raise a family there with the birth of their daughter Sophia in October. The impending name change caused her to rush to apply for Sophia's passport so it would say Republic of Macedonia and not North Macedonia. 5 days after they got it, the passports changed.
Sentimentally, I really wanted at least her first passport to be, you know, from the Republic of Macedonia. Now it's okay that her next passport is going to be North Macedonia, but this meant a lot to me.
At the same time, she acknowledged there was no other way to break out of North Macedonia's rut. And there have been immediate rewards. In February, the agreement opened the long-shut door to NATO, which Tranevski himself had pounded on for years in his Brussels posting. Defense Minister Radmila Shekarinska tells DW she recognizes the sacrifices of citizens under PrESPA are huge, but so, she says, were the costs of remaining mired in this dispute with Greece.
The country has paid enormous price in terms of stability, political situation, and economy. So we believe that leaders are elected to make these unpopular decisions sometimes and then convince the public that there is a greater reason for this. And I believe that we are doing it. I think that even though some people back home will continue to criticize the compromise, they will all enjoy the benefit. And this is a better, more secure, and more prosperous North Macedonia.
Now Macedonians, especially the younger generations, are hoping the European Union opens its arms too and offers the country a smooth path to membership, preferably accession negotiations this year. That will be up to EU heads of state and government with a decision expected in June. But this week, Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini sounded optimistic.
Opening accession negotiations this year is and remains the strategic objective not only of the government but of the entire country. And let me say, we confirmed on our side our determination to support all political forces of North Macedonia in reaching this goal, which is a shared one.
Giving young Macedonians a better future is only possible with EU and NATO membership, even Martin Trnavsky admits.
80% of the young people are dreaming of having a passport and leaving the country. This is disaster. We need these people. With these injections of economic aid, I believe that there will be, you know, some incentives, you know, for them to consider staying.
He still believes there might have been a better deal to make, but says that's no longer his battle to fight, except maybe over the dinner table. Terry Schultz, DW, Skopje.